parties to exercise restraint instead of provoking each other. This week, President Trump said if needed, the U.S. would totally destroy North Korea, while Kim Jong-un called Trump mentally deranged. The North Korean foreign minister also said they could detonate a nuclear explosive in the Pacific Ocean. China repeated the desire to solve the issue through dialogue.
The president of Iran says his country will strengthen its missile capabilities and it will not seek permission from any country to do so. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani made the statement today in Tehran while giving an address to a parade of armed forces. In the speech broadcast on state television, Rouhani vowed that Iran will increase its military power as a deterrent in the region. For the latest news and a look behind the headlines, join us online at usaradio.com.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
It's the official start of fall today.
On this day, both day and night are equal, with 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark. The autumnal equinox signifies the start of shorter days and longer nights in the northern hemisphere, and the opposite in the southern hemisphere. In the ancient cycle of the year, this was actually the second harvest, the first being on August 1st. Today, the autumnal equinox is synonymous with not only the completion of the harvest, but also the end of summer. For many across the country, that is apparent by the subtle changing of the leaves from green to yellow and orange.
And with the start of fall, it can be the start of problems for people with allergies. Here's Chris Barnes.
Dr. Leanna Oswald at the Roseman University of Health Science says allergy sufferers have a tough time at this time of year.
And September, which we're in right now, sees a spike of 64% of allergy sufferers having those symptoms occur.
But the doctor says allergy sufferers these days also have a wide range of over-the-counter treatments they can choose from, as well as prescription meds.
Antihistamines, which can kind of help to make you sleepy or can help to not make you sleepy. There's two groups there. We have nasal corticosteroids, which are often used as sprays that can help relieve congestion. We have decongestants that can also help with pressure.
I'm Chris Barnes.
NASA's asteroid-chasing spacecraft is passing by Earth on its way to collect samples from an asteroid. The OSIRIS-REx will pass within 11,000 miles of Earth today above Antarctica. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We have a great show for you this weekend, a very diverse show. But first, some of the strange news of the week. Why did the chicken cross the road? because he had a safety vest to help him do it. That's right, dear friends. A bed and breakfast in Scotland fitted a group of chickens with high visibility vests to help them cross a local road. Glenn Schillinghouse shared a video Friday of a pair of chickens wearing the bright pink vests as they strolled across the rainy street. Louise Lennox, owner of the Perthshire Bed and Breakfast, said she has 14 hens, and a few have a tendency to wander off the property and, you know, like chickens do, cross roads. They normally stay in the garden, but a couple of them like to go for a wee wander down the path and sometimes cross the road, she said, like that. I just thought it would be a little bit of fun, and it would also keep the hens safe, so I put some vests on the wanderers. Obviously, Scotland, not a lot to do. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We have the pleasure of speaking today with Jennifer Sarin and Narada Michael Walden. They are teaming up for a new album. It's called Wake Up. It's backed by celebrities and activists, including Carlos Santana and Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Jennifer, Narada, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. Thank you, Derek.
So tell us, if you could, what is the raison d'etre of Wake Up? What are you focused on here? And tell us about some of the music and what is the focus of the activism involved in this album?
For me, Jen, Wake Up is really just a shout out to the world that now is our time to just awake to our own heart, our own spirit, of looking out for each other, doing better for our world in every aspect. And that is really the essence of it. Carlos Santana is a great friend, and that he came and played guitar because he also loved the message of Wake Up. And Lady Smith Black Mambazo, the great singers of Africa, singing because they can also make that sound of like, yes, it is now time to wake up to our higher consciousness. This is the feeling that we're trying to give. And also in America, where there's so much violence, that we take a moment to kind of stop and rethink this whole thing, that we needn't kill each other, that we need to love each other, and slow down and take it easy, take a deep breath, and find ways we can better get along. This is the essence for my heart. So, Jen, now you say what you feel, honey.
Yeah, but that's basically it, that we can all do better. We are better. We don't have to be hateful or violent. We can just reach out to one another. It's more a message that life can be much more gracious and loving. It doesn't have to be the way it is now sometimes.
We're speaking with Jennifer Sarin and Narada Michael Walden. Jennifer, tell me if you could. Obviously, we've seen so much anger and hatred and violence at Charlottesville and in the wake of that. How was this album conceptualized? Because it certainly seems to have arrived at the right time.
Well, it actually happened at a similar time last year when we were having all of the violence in the cities and the police on citizen violence. And that Narda and I were in the studio when we were talking about that. It was very much in the news and in all of our hearts. And we just wanted to do another song. We sat there and said, let's just do another song. Let's talk about this. So there are a few little catchphrases in there that both Narda and I wanted to put in. Basically, we're running out of time. We need to wake up, and we need to do better. So similar timing, a year later, now we've got Charlottesville. Last year we had many cities going through this.
Narada Michael Walden, tell us if you could what the musical approach is here. How are you expressing yourself in Wake Up? And is it a unified approach? Is it kind of different musical styles? How did you approach things here?
Thank you, Derek, for asking. It's really a stretch because at the core of it, we love timeless music and making timeless music and honoring timeless music. For example, from India is a great chant, a prayer called Agure, a chant to the Lord. And all the people who love meditation and yoga and prayer are loving this song. And then we stretch over to Doris Day, a song called My Love and Devotion, because Doris sang it so beautifully back in the 50s. And here we have Jennifer, who has that kind of God gift to sing that song. So then we had a wonderful time making a tribute to Doris Day. So then we're stretched also over to do a tribute to Bill Withers of Lean On Me, and a tribute to Billy Paul with me and Mr. Jones, and of course then to George Michael, who we love so much, who gave so much. And then we're also stretching because we're writing quite a few new pieces on this album, one called Really, which also features a young gentleman named Jameel Wallace, who's a wonderful singer. And then a song called Too Young to Know that Jenna's composed beautifully. And then one for her daughter entitled Better Than Me. You know, she feels that her daughter is better than her, but the song is so deep and put together so beautifully. So for me as a producer, as a musician, Jennifer's stretching me in as far and wide as we can go to make a legitimate, timeless piece of art. And this is our intention.
Tell us, and this could be either of you, what would you want someone listening to this album to take away? What kind of feeling would you wish for them to have, and what action in response to hearing it, if you could have your druthers?
I think for me, almost every song on this album is about our feelings, how we feel about certain things. And for me, I always try to be positive. I just want positivity to rule my life. So if you listen to the various songs, they're real feelings that we all have at one time or another. And I personally want those feelings to touch people, to actually think about it and say, boy, that touches me. For Wake Up, it's a more of a global message that as a community, as a world, we have to do better. And if you go to Agoré, which is basically it's a tribute to God, how God lights the way, and God uplifts us all and lights our path. And I understand that particular song is doing as well on iTunes as the title song, Wake Up, which is astounding to me. But yoga, it's used a lot in yoga practice. These kind of yoga chants are very popular globally in the yoga communities. So I'm pleased that it has a cross section of interest. Very pleased.
That's wonderful. So tell us how people can find your music, how they can find Wake Up, get this album, and start listening to it.
Well, I'm looking on iTunes at the very moment of Jen's beautiful cover. Mm-hmm. She looks gorgeous. It's called Jennifer Sound with Wake Up, and everything is here where you can buy all the album. I think 15 songs for $9.99, which is very, very reasonable. And this is iTunes, so just speak about Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon is probably the best outlet for the physical copy, if that's what a buyer is looking for. I think most people have had the most luck. And we do actually have a backup. We have a Bandcamp site, so if anybody has trouble with Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Or go to the website, Jennifer Sound Music, or Tarpan Studios.
Yes, JenniferSaronMusic.com. Folks can find stuff there on Amazon, on iTunes. Please check out Wake Up and Jennifer Saron and Narada Michael Walden. Thank you so much for doing what you do. Thank you for creating the sounds that you create. And it was wonderful speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
Derek,
you so
man,
much,
you're
Derek.
A humble cat. We love you. Thank you.
All the best. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Konica, the German shepherd that I rescued, was stinky, skinny, and scrawny, full of skin rashes and scratching. And I started feeding Konica Dynavite, and he became such a happier, itch-free, stink-free dog. I dug deeper into the website.
DINOVITE.com.
What if in addition to Dynavite, we do the raw beef and the egg diet and see what happens? Forget all these 50-pound bags, the formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits.
that costs a ton of money anyways. This dog's as close to a wolf as you can get. They're carnivores. With just the raw meat and the eggs and the dynavite and super omega on top of it, it just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit. It's unbelievable. Hey, if you're thinking about rescuing a dog, you got to start him out on Dynavite. DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, 3 out of 4 Americans plan to do some sort of back-to-school shopping this year. Jason Gaughan is with Bank of America.
As summer comes to a close, Americans are putting vacations behind them and spending on supplies for the classroom. Whether they're hitting the books themselves or picking up pencils for their kids, most plan to spend about $370 on back-to-school expenses. And while the next holiday break feels further than ever away, the right rewards credit card can let all that back-to-school spending get you one step closer to your next vacation. With the Bank of America Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points for every dollar you spend on purchases. Better yet, points don't expire, so you can redeem them when and where you want, including that next school break.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected. That's bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with a very interesting individual. And she has created a lifestyle brand, which I think you will find fascinating. And she has been at a couple of key moments and been involved in a couple of very critical moments of the politics and the history of Great Britain. And we're going to discuss this. Her name is India Hicks. You can find out more at indiahicks.com. India, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, certainly. First of all, IndiaHicks.com, it's a lifestyle brand, and you let's talk a little bit about your background. You were the granddaughter of Lord Mountbatten, the last viceroy of India, who handed India its freedom back in 1947. You were also the bridesmaid at the wedding of Princess Diana. And so you are tied in with the history of Great Britain in a very critical way. What has that brought to you in terms of the lifestyle that you're putting forth today?
Ooh, that's a very deep question to start off with. I think I recognize how lucky and blessed my life has been because I've been I've had these little pockets of history to draw from. I've had very exceptional parents. My mother certainly had a front row seat at so many historical occasions. She was a lady in waiting to the Queen. She was there the moment the Queen became Queen out in Africa. She was on that Commonwealth tour. She was there during the time of Indian independence. So she sat with Mahatma Gandhi at prayer meetings. My father was a very great interior decorator. He set the world alight with his dazzling color schemes and mixing old with new in his geometric designs. In fact, he designed the bowling alley at the White House. So I think both of them were very, very amazing individual characters. My mother's still alive. In fact, she's two fields away from me today in Oxfordshire, 88 years old, and still as open-minded as ever. And I think that that's so key to life, to be open-minded. I think having had the Prince of Wales as a godfather, I saw the extraordinary work that he has done and continues to do today in modernizing the monarchy and caring so deeply about many, many different causes that sometimes never light of day because he works so hard and is very discreet about what he does. And of course, the very difficult relationship and marriage to Diana. And Diana was, as everybody knows, that extraordinary, charismatic people's princess. And she touched so many in ways that really someone from the royal family had never done before. And I think she brought something very fresh to it. And she took the style and the elegance and the beauty she was born with and did something very powerful with that and really took it to a whole nother level. And I hope in some way that all of these extraordinary characters who I have been lucky enough to have a part of or spent some time with, I've taken bits of that and hopefully have applied it more so than ever, especially in the company that I founded, India Hicks Inc., which is a lifestyle brand sold in the heart of the home, and that I encourage women to join us and to run this as their own business on their own terms in their own time. And I think it's a very exciting period for women to be standing on their own two feet and to be really taking control of their lives.
So this is a way of not only selling a product, but empowering women at the same time. Tell us a little bit about your business model at IndiaHicks.com. How do you go about this? How are these products sold? And tell us how the products reflect your heritage as someone who is tied to the royal family and also someone who lives in the Bahamas primarily now.
Absolutely. Well, the company is called India Hicks London Harbour Island. I wanted my name on the door for a reason. I wanted to feel very accountable. Any woman who's joining me, I want them to feel secure in the fact that I am passionate about this. I believe in this. I see the opportunity. And it's the same with the product. I want the product to be beautifully crafted. I want it to feel elegant. I want it to feel timeless. I want it to feel unique and special within an affordable price range. Everything's under $500. In fact, 70% of the collection is under $100. I want women from all walks of life to feel that they can have part of the company, whether it's selling the collection, whether it's being part of our community, whether it's hosting an event. But I don't want this to feel elitist in any way. And yet, I want the stories that I've had, so a bit of my past, bit of my British heritage and a lot of my present, which is my island life, to be in the collections as well. So it's India Hicks and London Harbour Island. The two names are right there. And again, I was blessed with that amazing British heritage, but also this rather unique runaway island story where I met and fell in love with my other half and we raised five children, one of whom is Bahamian. We were lucky enough to foster a Bahamian chap who has brought me so much love and I have learned so much from him. And so we're very lucky to have this very mixed family, and that's important. But really, I began to see myself as a woman who wanted to do more, and I found that there were so many friends of mine who also had reached a time in their lives where they suddenly said, I want to do more again. I want to feel very relevant. My children are leaving home. They're going to college, or some of the kids are younger, and they were going nuts, and they wanted to be in a more social environment, or someone who worked in corporate America but wanted to have something for herself in the evenings that was nothing to do with her daytime job. And well, there are so many reasons why women might join India Hicks. And I love that there's a very rich tapestry of women coming in, different shapes, different sizes, different color schemes, different backgrounds. I don't care. I just want a woman who's spirited, who's ready to work, who feels entrepreneurial, who wants an adventure, and who appreciates and is passionate about good taste and good design.
Now, I wish everyone in the royal family the absolute best of health, but I must note that if the research that I've done is correct, you are, in fact, 678th in line to the British crown. Does the weight of that, if that is indeed correct, ever hang heavy on your shoulders?
It's very funny. I'm very amused that you looked that up. And it is totally irrelevant in my life. And the fact that there would have to be a very, very large, an extensive poisoning or nuclear bomb or some time of terror for me to get anywhere close to that throne. I think nobody needs to worry about that. What I do hope is that doesn't define me, and that what defines me is the fact that I have now started a company where women do feel that they are heard, and that we are banding together. But that's certainly not to say I am so grateful for the incredible past that I had, and to have been part of that royal wedding, and to have seen a little bit of history in the making there. But I hope that I live my own life, and to the own beat of my own drum. And it's a very different life now to what I started with.
Well, thank you so much for striking out on the path that you have, and thank you so much for making the efforts that you do. I think you come to what you have now completely naturally, with your father having been an interior decorator and your mother having the royal connections that she had, and taking this background and starting a business like this and reaching out to connect to other women, I think is quite admirable. Again, IndiaHicks.com is where you can find out more. And I will note that if something tragic, heaven forbid, should ever happen, I think you would fill the role entirely better than did King Ralph. And I'm sure no such scenario will ever come to fruition. But thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
All the best. India Hicks, and Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Many consumers do not fully understand how to protect their personal information online. They need to carefully consider the data they continuously generate about themselves and others from their mobile devices and PCs. Michael Kaiser with the National Cybersecurity Alliance.
Your personally identifiable information is like money. Value it, protect it. At staysafeonline.org, the National Cybersecurity Alliance offers free tips for keeping a clean PC and protecting your privacy online. For tips on how to protect your smartphone or tablet, check out DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com. DigitalU is a program from our friends at AT&T that provides free tips and tools for protecting your devices and data, keeping your personal information secure, and keeping you safe online.
Protect your privacy online. Visit the National Cybersecurity Alliance at staysafeonline.org and AT&T Digital U at onlinesafety.att.com for more information.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
In the block grant to the states, we mandate that every state shall cover pre-existing illnesses with affordable and credible care.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham talking to reporters about the GOP health care plan, countering a disinformation campaign by late-night television host Jimmy Kimmel, claiming that pre-existing conditions won't be covered.
That means there'll be 50 different approaches how to deal with pre-existing illnesses, but everybody will have to cover people who've been sick before. You can't be denied health care insurance because you've been sick.
The Defense Department says they will remain involved in hurricane relief efforts. In a Pentagon briefing today, Brigadier General Diana Holland noted aggressive efforts to help Puerto Rico. The U.S. territory was hammered by Hurricane Maria. Holland says the Army Corps of Engineers is very involved in helping to restore power in Puerto Rico. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
Oh, I had my joints all ached. My sciatic nerve was really bad. Like 10 hours, my eyes were so tired and heavy and almost burning. And then when I woke up in the morning, there was this nagging pain. I mean, it hurt to open them. And just in a week, like, I don't have the nagging pain anymore. My joints stopped hurting, and I'm in wood season. I'm lugging wood right now, and I'm not hurting. So that's, like, amazing for me. I'm usually really suffering. It's pretty effective. And so now, like I said, my husband and I are both taking it, and he even said his joints aren't aching as much, and he's feeling better.
Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Alexander Hamilton has been on our $10 bills for a long time, but he has been more recently at the forefront of our popular culture because of the musical Hamilton that has been taking Broadway by storm for the past couple of years. His actual life, though, is probably different than what you think it is. He's not just your ordinary founding father, and here to talk with us about that is Martha Brockenbrough. She is the author of Alexander Hamilton, Revolutionary. Martha, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So how was Alexander Hamilton different from your average founding father? Obviously, he wasn't a president. He didn't co-write the Declaration of Independence, which seemed to be the two main qualifiers for the position of face on the bill these days. How was he a different guy?
Those are good distinctions. He was too young to have written the Declaration of Independence. But the key difference, I would say, is that he was an immigrant. He came to the colonies. They were not yet the United States, as a penniless teenager wanting to finish his education and hoping for a war.
Was he part of the DACA program, perchance?
You know, he probably would have been if such a thing existed. He had survived a horrible, horrible hurricane in the West Indies, where he was born, and he wrote a letter to his father about it, and he showed the letter to a friend of his, and this friend was so impressed that he had it published in one of the local newspapers, and people were so blown away by this letter that they thought, who is this kid? It was published anonymously, and when they found out who he was, his boss at the time put together a scholarship fund, and they sent him to New York to study. He was hoping possibly to study medicine.
Wow, so if your college essay takes off, it really can take you places. That's good to know.
It's true.
So how is he distinguished from the rest of the Founding Fathers once he gets in operation? First of all, take us on his path. How does he become significant in terms of the operations of this government? He takes a military path at first, doesn't he?
He does take a military path, and he had been dreaming of this since he was a kid. He wrote to his best friend, this guy named Ned Stevens, and said, I wish there was a war. And this was the path that a young person who was born into poverty could take to distinguish himself. He was an incredible student, and as a boy, he read about heroes, and he wanted to be one. And so the military was his first route, and after Lexington, this bloody clash between British and American citizens, after that happened, he immediately started training. He was a student at King's College, which is now Columbia, and he drilled like crazy. He also spoke at a rally and blew people away. He pretty quickly became an artillery captain. He was offered, due to connections he had, he was offered a job as the aide-de-camp to a brigadier general named Lord Stirling, but he did not want to be a paper pusher. He wanted to be a soldier. He wanted to be a hero. And he really did distinguish himself on the battlefield, but he also distinguished himself as the aide-de-camp who became George Washington's right-hand man.
We're speaking with Martha Brockenbrough. She is the author of Alexander Hamilton, Revolutionary. Well, obviously, you know, the kind of connection that you make with George Washington is not an insignificant one. Where did that take him?
Well, he really served Washington incredibly well, even though it was reluctant a lot of the time. He wrote letters on behalf of Washington, and you know, he impressed the future president with his diligence and his organization. They did have a huge falling out during the war. He felt that he had been disrespected by Washington, and so for a while he quit. And then eventually he did get a position on the battlefield, and this was for the Battle of Yorktown, which was the final conflict between the Americans and the British. And he served himself well. That was when the British surrendered. after the war ended, he was still really angry with George Washington. and he was a young man, and, you know, Washington, I think, saw Alexander's path more clearly than Alexander did. And, you know, one of the things we have to remember is there was no template for being a founding father. They didn't think of themselves as, hello, we are founding fathers. They were just a bunch of men who had different skills and different interests. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration. He was terrible and a coward on the battlefield. Jefferson was not part of drafting the Constitution. He was in Paris at the time, and yet we consider him one of the founding fathers. George Washington was one of the few who was there for all of it, and the duration of Hamilton's life, that those two men had a really incredible partnership. Without Hamilton as the Secretary of Treasury, it's really unlikely that the nation's financial system would have been set up and would have been functional. I mean, maybe eventually we would have gotten here, but Hamilton was really a visionary, and George Washington saw and respected that and made a lot of choices that resisted other impulses. Thomas Jefferson's vision of America was an agrarian society, which is a pretty polite way of saying a society where, very wealthy men who enslave people are the backbone of the economy. And Alexander Hamilton wanted something that was much more diverse.
Now, that's interesting, because we often hear of the sort of polarization between Alexander Hamilton on the one side, who wanted a more federalist system, Thomas Jefferson on the other hand, who was more devoted to individual and state liberty. But if you think about it, it also breaks down along sort of class lines, because perhaps Alexander Hamilton wanted a stronger federal government because he saw some of the flaws that you allude to just there in Thomas Jefferson's thinking.
He and Alexander Hamilton had been great collaborators right after the Constitution, and they wrote the Federalist Papers, and this is this incredibly important historical document that was meant to make the case for the United States Constitution. It had to be ratified by 9 of the 13 states, or it was not going to become the governing document of the land. And so Alexander Hamilton and James Madison and John Jay, to a lesser extent, because he got sick, they wrote these papers explaining and advocating for the ratification of the Constitution. And so Madison and Jefferson were both from southern states, were both aristocrats, and so, yes, they wanted to have more states' authority. And at the time, the different states owed different amounts of money from the Revolutionary War. And so states that had been able to pay off their debt were not keen on assuming the debt of other states, which often were the ones in the North. And so a lot of it had to do, yes, with the political principle, how much authority your state has, because these people thought of themselves as citizens of their state, but also how much authority the federal government had. And, there were some concerns, an overly strong federal government, how is that different from a monarchy, and how would we have rights as individuals? And so, there was the legitimate concern about the balance between those two things, and that still exists today. But it wasn't all political principle. Some of it was very much personal interest. People who owned other human beings considered these human beings property, but they also wanted their property to have a vote. Not that literally enslaved people could vote, but the votes of the people who owned slaves counted a little bit more than the votes of people who didn't. And so, that comes down to greed, and that's always been part of the American system, and we see it in lots of ways today.
Martha Brockenbro, it's a fascinating story, and it definitely echoes in the current day. Alexander Hamilton, revolutionary. Thank you for telling the story, and thank you for being with us today on Now It's the News.
Thanks for having me. Happy Labor Day.
Thank you, Martha. All the best. Wonderful interview. Thanks.
Bye. For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, 3 out of 4 Americans plan to do some sort of back-to-school shopping this year. Jason Gaughan is with Bank of America.
As summer comes to a close, Americans are putting vacations behind them and spending on supplies for the classroom. Whether they're hitting the books themselves or picking up pencils for their kids, most plan to spend about $370 on back-to-school expenses. And while the next holiday break feels further than ever away, the right rewards credit card can let all that back-to-school spending get you one step closer to your next vacation. With the Bank of America Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points for every dollar you spend on purchases. Better yet, points don't expire, so you can redeem them when and where you want, including that next school break.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected. That's bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
Hi, I'm Chip Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. China is a subject that is always difficult and complicated. The United States' relationship with this new superpower in the world is complicated, to say the least. We have huge economic connections. We have a budding military rivalry in the Pacific, and we have a president of the United States that can't seem to properly pronounce its name. So we have called upon the services of Richard McGregor. He's the author of Asia's Reckoning. Let's see if we can figure this out. Richard, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
So let's just start out with it. Why does Donald Trump call China China? What's the deal with that?
Well, why does he call a lot of things, I guess. But, you know, I tell you what, by pronouncing China as China, he got, I think, initially on the campaign trail, and then obviously as president, he got their attention, and not necessarily in a good way, but he did nonetheless.
It does leave one scratching one's head. Clearly China was key to his pitch during the presidential campaign. He wanted to make sure we got a good deal. China was taking advantage of us, kind of playing into a lot of, I think, xenophobic fears about them taking over our economy, taking over the world. And yet, now that he is in
power. He seems to have sort of made nice with China, but still kind of plays off of them for political purposes. How is that going?
Well, I would say not very well. You know, I'm not coming on your show as a Trump fan, but I definitely think there could have been some method to his madness. You know, I think it's not a bad thing for the U.S. to put China off balance because, you know, China's been putting the U.S. off balance for a long time. And getting, I would say, not in quite the same terms as Mr. Trump, but getting a pretty good deal out of the U.S. And, you know, if Mr. Trump, you know, in the old Richard Nixon madman theory, could put China off balance, that was a good thing. The problem is, of course, that, you know, Trump is putting the U.S. off balance much, much more. And at the end of the day, if you can't galvanize your own system, which you can't do, then you're not going to be able to you know, get into a sort of what will inevitably be a long, drawn-out conflict. I don't mean military conflict, but conflict with China.
What are the basic issues here? Let's start with the economy. Obviously, a huge number of U.S. goods, and world goods for that matter, manufactured in China. We keep hearing about the trade deficit. What's the significance of the trade deficit, and how critical is that to our economic relationship?
Well, I think he picks the wrong topic. You know, there's no doubt that China protects its market. There's no doubt it steals U.S. technology. There's no doubt that it stands over U.S. companies who want to get into its market and demands they hand over its technology. All those things are issues that the U.S., the White House, whoever's in power, should take on. They're not easy, but they, you know, Trump is right. There are issues there. But the bilateral trade deficit is not the issue. You know, it doesn't matter if U.S. trade with China is up or down, you know, because China is often the last point of assembly for a whole bunch of goods coming from Southeast Asia, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and the like. So U.S. and China's trade deficit and surplus is really not the issue. And I think Trump just seems obsessed with that, and it's way off the mark.
Yeah, it really is interesting what we do choose to focus on. I mean, how about just the preponderance of goods that are made in China as opposed to ones that are made in the United States? Is there some possibility, realistically speaking, for an adjustment or a revitalization of American manufacturing as opposed to companies exporting all of those? And does the U.S. government have really any influence on that?
Well, in some ways, I mean, I would argue a little bit past that. You know, I think manufacturing is obviously an issue, but not the big issue, because even manufacturing jobs in China are contracting because of, you know, automation and various issues, the sorts of things you see here in the States as well. But, you know, the big issue with, I think, China is technological competition. And they are fast catching up with the U.S. through fair means and foul, and the U.S. should find ways to combat that. And the second one is military competition in East Asia. You know, this is the absolute hub of the global economy. The entire global economy goes through these East Asian nations. The U.S. has dominated that since the war. In fact, without the U.S., those countries, Japan, South Korea, and China, would never have developed. But China's kind of decided that, you know, it's their time. You know, thank you very much, America, for keeping the peace. You can go home now, and we'll just manage this from now on. So I reckon they're the two big issues.
We're speaking with Richard McGregor. He's the author of China's Reckoning. And let's get into that military rivalry a little bit and diplomacy. Do you think, given what we saw at Mar-a-Lago earlier this year, that the key to U.S.-China diplomacy in the Trump era is really, really delicious chocolate cake?
Well, if you believe the U.S. president. I mean, that to me was just crazy. The after raging against China for 18 months or so, Mr. Trump was seduced in one couple-of-hour meeting with Xi Jinping, I mean, who he now calls, or he did call, a great guy, you know, and Xi Jinping is many things, a formidable leader, adversary, whatever, but he's not a great guy. And, you know, it's very disappointing to see Trump, and I guess it's his style, personal style, to just sort of pull back after one meeting. But of course, the other aspect of Mr. Trump's style is that 2 days later he's changed his mind and starts tweeting again. And I'm afraid the chocolate cake probably had about as long as chocolate cakes usually do, you know, 1 or 2 days, you know, lasting before you throw it out.
As far as China and the U.S. directly are concerned, what are the military dangers there? We've had a few confrontations in the Pacific. How do we size up and what are the realistic dangers of military conflict just directly between those two nations?
Well, that's frightening your listeners too much. I mean, I would argue that, you know, China and the U.S. are kind of on a collision course. You know, the U.S. has dominated the Pacific since 1945, the end of the war. America's enemy then, Japan, is in fact now America's most important bilateral military ally. People have forgotten about Japan and the like, but, you know, America's biggest overseas naval base is in Japan. So Japan and China are at odds, and that means that the U.S. and China are already at odds, are doubly so, because the U.S. and Japan are now sort of bound at the hip, as it were. And, you know, China's had 20, 30 years of a steady military build-up. They're about to get their second aircraft carrier. They've now got a formidable navy. They've built military bases in the South China Sea. So this is not just something off into the future now. China is a military rival here and now. They don't want to fight a war with the U.S., you know, the old Chinese military strategy, you know, win the battle without firing a shot. And I would say so far they're doing a pretty good job of that. If you think about it, China has never settled its own civil war. You have Taiwan. The Korean Civil War has never been settled. China and Japan don't get on. So all these frozen in the 50s conflicts are now sort of thawing and coming, and they're all very, very ugly. And it's not going to be solved by Donald Trump in a few years. The best thing, you know, the best hope is that it's gradually solved over a period of 10, 20 years. But, you know, it's difficult and it's dangerous. You've got the Chinese playing the long game and Kim Jong-un, you know, threatening to throw his toys out of the sandpit in the short term. So it's pretty, I'd say it's a pretty perilous part of the world suddenly.
So what I'm hearing is that we're all doomed. That sounds like the ultimate answer.
I hope we get through to the end of this show and in time for my book to be published.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. Asia's Reckoning. Let's hope that the book takes place and is a wild success before Asia's Reckoning actually takes place. We've been speaking to Richard McGregor. Thank you so much for being with us on Now It's the News, and hopefully we resolve some of the problems, and I know I'm going to stock up on cake myself.
Thank you, Derek.
All the best, sir. Bye-bye.
Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair and Godric Rocklin. For more information, go to Twitter, at Now It's the News. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Many consumers do not fully understand how to protect their personal information online. They need to carefully consider the data they continuously generate about themselves and others from their mobile devices and PCs. Michael Kaiser with the National Cybersecurity Alliance.
Your personally identifiable information is like money. Value it, protect it. At staysafeonline.org, the National Cybersecurity Alliance offers free tips for keeping a clean PC and protecting your privacy online. For tips on how to protect your smartphone or tablet, check out DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com. DigitalU is a program from our friends at AT&T that provides free tips and tools for protecting your devices and data, keeping your personal information secure, and keeping you safe online.
Protect your privacy online. Visit the National Cybersecurity Alliance at staysafeonline.org and AT&T DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
In the block grant to the states, we mandate that every state shall cover pre-existing illnesses with affordable and credible care.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham talking to reporters about the GOP health care plan, countering a disinformation campaign by late-night television host Jimmy Kimmel, claiming that pre-existing conditions won't be covered.
That means there'll be 50 different approaches how to deal with pre-existing illnesses, but everybody will have to cover people who've been sick before. You can't be denied health care insurance because you've been sick.
The Defense Department says they will remain involved in hurricane relief efforts. In a Pentagon briefing today, Brigadier General Diana Holland noted aggressive efforts to help Puerto Rico. The U.S. territory was hammered by Hurricane Maria. Holland says the Army Corps of Engineers is very involved in helping to restore power in Puerto Rico. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We're clearing out summer inventory at the Yellow Tag Clearance Sale at Lumber Liquidators. Take 20% off Woodlook waterproof floors with coupon, like top-rated Avella Woodlook Tile and Click Ceramic Plank. Get 10 to 23% off all Dream Home X2O water-resistant laminate and 10% off all Builder's Pride and Virginia Millworks pre-finished hardwood. More from 39 cents and take an extra 10% off clearance at your local store, plus special financing. Look for the Yellow Tag Clearance Deals at Lumber Liquidators today.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
A teacher coming under fire for making her students use gender-neutral pronouns. Here's Chris Barnes.
Chloe Bresak sent a letter to parents asking that her students use the pronouns they, them, and their instead of he, his, she, or hers. And the letter also did ask students to address the teacher as Mix, as in MX, rather than Miss or Ms. The issue set off a debate after the letter was posted on Facebook. The school district in Tallahassee has since issued a statement in which the teacher has apologized for any confusion her letter caused, and she says it will be okay for students to use the traditional pronouns in her classroom. I'm Chris Barnes.
Gatorade in trouble for dissing water. California Democratic Attorney General Xavier Becerra brought a lawsuit against the company because the company had made a game where if the user drank water, they slowed down. If they drank Gatorade, they sped up. He said it was morally wrong to talk bad about water. USA Radio News.
With 20% back in rewards on color copies from Staples, you can run your business with confidence. The confidence to leave behind presentations that customers will read, not recycle. The confidence to produce color manuals that'll keep your business in the black. The confidence that your financial forecast will no longer be partly cloudy. Show off your business in full color for less at Staples. Now get 20% back in rewards on color presentations, manuals, and copies. Staples, it's pro time. Visit staples.com/20color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusions apply.
The Army Corps of Engineers is going to be restoring beaches in New Jersey that were damaged by Superstorm Sandy.
Well, this is one of the largest beach projects in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers history. It'll start next month. It was delayed because of the recent hurricanes. Crews will add 11 million cubic yards of sand from Point Pleasant to Berkeley Township. Communities in that stretch sustained major damage during Superstorm Sandy.
To put that in perspective, enough sand to fill MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands about 5.5 times. So it's a ton of sand. Again, it's designed to reduce the risk of storm damages.
Steve Rochette from the Army Corps says contracts also being awarded in Ocean City, Brigantine, and several communities on Long Beach Island.
A lawsuit has been filed to stop a Hawaii law that would force pro-life centers to tell people about abortion. Here's John Clemens.
The five pro-life affiliates in Hawaii have made a request at the U.S. District Court to halt the enforcement of the law against them while their case proceeds. Ken Connolly is one of the attorneys for the pro-life centers.
These pro-life pregnancy centers exist to help women choose life for their babies. Yet Hawaii is trying to force them to essentially advertise.